if I remember, it's been a while. 23, 4, 5, 6, 7 was a very brief encounter with a person that was possessed with devils, or he had an singular unclean spirit, which is a bunch of devils. Okay, and then in Mark 5 is the definitive chapter on it because there's a lot more detail. So he just gave a brief thing here, and the Lord just basically told the devil to shut up, and he kept moving forward. But that was enough to shock people. They'd never seen that before, where the God of all creation tells his creation to do something and they do it. Okay, except for man, where you have a free will against something, but devils follow his orders, animals follow his orders. And I was introduced tonight to, I didn't realize that a monocle is what creates people. That's what a guy told me on the sidewalk over there. He said, God didn't create, a monocle does. What's a monocle? He said it was like a mineral, or maybe I'm not saying it right. Yeah. Yeah, a monocle, yeah, you're right there, Ben. That was a new one on me. So in verse 27, and of course, when people, even today, when people come across unusual experiences that the average person says, what is going on here? And I dare say, in our country, this is sort of kind of hidden a little bit more. In foreign countries, it's more out in the open. In certain countries, it's more out in the open, where they'll just, you know, come right out in front and say it. Where America is kind of dead on some of these things, but they're still working. These unclean spirits are still working. So in verse 27, they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? So they hadn't seen that before. And a lot of churches haven't seen this stuff, and I don't think we should specialize in it, that's for sure. But there might be some experiences that you have that are very unusual, that the only explanation is unclean spirits. Very strange experiences. I've had a few here and there. And so this is a new idea, a new doctrine to them. And there were a lot of new things that Jesus Christ introduced. Remember, Moses, God used to begin Judaism. So then that come marches along. But yet, as usual, Satan will counterfeit something. So you have Judaism, and then in due time Satan got the Kabbalah and mystic Judaism going under the Babylonian Talmud. And Jeremiah said in his day, that'd be about 600 BC, that they have perverted the words of the living God. So they had perverted or counterfeit Bibles back then. So that would be the Babylonian Talmud. And the nearest copy I know of is at Valparaiso Library. It's a volume. It's about a 24-25 set of volumes of the Talmud. And what that is, that's commentaries by rabbis about the Old Testament, the Masoretic text. Jesus would say something like, ye have heard it said, but I say unto you. So when he says that, when he said, ye have heard it said, he is referring to the teachings of the rabbis, which would be either a counterfeit of scriptures, or on occasion they would be in line with the scriptures. You can't have, you know, a good counterfeit has some truth in it. And so then he would say, but I say unto you, then he was bringing them back to the actual scriptures. And that was the whole underlying jealousy of the scribes and Pharisees to get rid of Jesus, because he was exposing their false authority in themselves. And it's the same thing today with the new Bibles. Same thing. And so I've come to See that the best approach, if the idea of the New Bibles wants to come up, I start with the New World Translation. And then, because when you're on, you want to agree with somebody first. So in an agreement, even the New Bible people would be opposed to the New World Translation because that's Jehovah's Witness. So you're in agreement there. And then parallel that with the NIV, ESV, New King Jimmy, because they are a parallel. And then that hits them right in the conscience. And then they have a choice to make after that. So the new idea, Jesus introduced a new birth to Nicodemus. He introduced the New Testament to the apostles during the Last Supper. And so this is a part of God's progressive revelation where God doesn't dump all his truth on mankind at once. He does a little bit here, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. And so then he gave us the 66 books of the Bible. And so as far as written revelation, at this point, that's his completed written revelation up till today. Does that mean he's not going to do some in the millennium? I have no idea. Okay, but today, the scriptures for us are the 66 that we found, we have in the beloved King James Bible. And then he says, then the statement reads after these people pose these questions, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. So, of course, the Lord's got the authority. He tells them what to do. They do it. Okay, no questions asked. They, the devils, in particular, fear Jesus Christ. The devil, the ultimate devil, Satan, Lucifer, does not fear Jesus Christ. He does not fear God. God created him without fear, according to Job 41:33. So he has no fear. That's why he's a smart aleck to God. Okay, and he comes back and throws all this stuff in God's face. But the devils fear the Lord, James 2:19. They believe in God and tremble. So the devils, a person who is infested with devils, will be nervous around a believer who is filled with the Spirit. They will be nervous around that person. Okay, they will not be nervous around a carnal Christian. That doesn't bother them. Why? Because they're on the same side of the fence at that time. Okay, so that's that. Then in verse 28, it's a very logical idea after something new like this has been demonstrated. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. Now, I was, you know, kind of looking at this, and I thought I'm going to bring up Google Earth or maybe Google Maps and then show you on the screen, you know, where these things take place. So I'm just, and then I realized we still got this. That's fine. I'm glad for that. I'll just do it another time later on. And a lot of times you get a visual. You get a visual where these things take place. And it's really, to me, it's very helpful to see the visual of it. And I can show you, like on Google Earth, where Moses Spring, there's a place called Moses Springs, the Springs of Moses down in Aqaba side, and where he traveled and everything. I think it's kind of fascinating to see it. Okay, but this Galilee, this is the northern part of Israel. Okay, so if you take Indiana and northern Indiana, just the northern fourth of Indiana, and then twist it a quarter turn, that's the landmass for Israel. So you twist it a quarter turn, and then the top section, okay, would be Galilee. Okay, and that's where the Lord did the vast majority of his work. So this is up north, and he's in Capernaum. You see that back in verse 21. So that's the hometown of Peter, Capernaum. Today, Capernaum is cursed, as Jesus said it was going to be. He did curse it. He cursed Capernaum, Chorazin, and Bethsaida. And the two I can show on the map, but it's just Capernaum. All it is a sepulcher where they got stones. This is where it used to be. And then the Catholics put a monastery there, go figure, in Peter's hometown. And the monastery is like a building that points down to the ground to a point, supposedly where Peter was born. Okay, and so they buy that up. They got to make sure they get in there. But it's right along the Sea of Galilee. Okay, so that's where he's at. Verse 29, forthwith when they were come out of synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. So that's where Simon, Peter, and Andrew, because they were brothers, that's where they were born. Okay, now if you would, go back to Matthew 11. Hold your finger here if you want. If you don't hold your finger there. Okay, Matthew 11, verse 20. If you want to put your finger in your ear, you can hold your finger in your ear. Whatever you want to do, it don't matter to me. Okay, and so in Matthew 11, 20, after many of these miracles that Jesus gave, then he upbraids this area, these people, because they rejected Jesus Christ, even though they had all these great miracles. You see that in Matthew 11, 20? Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. And there's two of them named, Chorazin and then Bethsaida. Okay? And notice that if he had done these works in a place called Tyre and Sidon, Tyre, that's how the Aussies spell the word Tyre. Like we spell it T-I-R-E, but they have tire shops, T-Y-R-E. I don't know if that's akin to Tartaria. It is in line with Tarshish in Ezekiel 26-32. But it would have been a pretty satanic community. And Jesus said in 21, "For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented." They would have repented. So those people are still held accountable for what they were given. But Capernaum was majorly held accountable, because too much is given, much is required. So he said that again in 22. Then 23 is Capernaum. So that's the hometown of Peter and Andrew. Okay, and so then he said, if these works would have been done in Sodom, verse 23 and 24... they would have repented. So that tells you how hard-hearted the Jewish people were in Capernaum. Okay, so that's quite a thing. Now, I find the Bible very precise in these things. So after Jesus pronounced this, if you would go to Mark chapter 8. Okay, when he pronounces something like that, does that mean that everybody... now, from those areas, everybody in those towns are doomed? No, it doesn't mean that at all. Okay, there's some scuttlebutt amongst Christians, you know, on YouTube and online, and they think that, you know, we're going to have revival. Usually the Pentecostals and Charismatics say stuff like this. America's people are hungry for the truth, and we're going to have a revival and all this stuff. No, we're not. I'm not being negative about it. I'm being biblical. Laodicea is going to end up in a mess. That's the church. Now, that doesn't mean as an individual you can't experience a revival. Or maybe in a local community. Not as a nation. Okay? And the example is in Revelation 3, where Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, I will come into him and sup with him." That's an individual thing. Okay, now here's an example of a fella who was in Bethsaida after Jesus cursed this town. Mark 8:22. And notice how precise God is, Jesus is, the Bible is. Mark 8:22. "And he cometh to Bethsaida." Okay, and then it says, "And they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him." So he's already cursed this place. So what did Jesus do with this man? He took the blind man by the hand, led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. Notice he brought him outside of the town. So the individual still has an opportunity. Even though a region may be under the curse of God. Okay, and so, there's still hope in the Lord in his mercy. Okay, in Mark 1:29, forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew. Okay, so remember, if you remember the storyline, Andrew came to the Lord first, and then he went and got his brother Peter. So they're brothers with James and John, and we know those are brothers, James and John. Okay, so we have two sets of brothers, but I think we have three sets of brothers within the apostles. Okay, and one set might be three brothers. So you have two pairs, Peter and Andrew, James and John, and Matthew, James, and then Jude. So you got Matthew, James, and Jude. And I'll show you some of these if you would want to take a gander at this. Let's see. Matthew 10, verse 2. There are four places, actually, that gives often a list of the disciples and or the apostles and the other names that they might have. Okay, so I have David, I have Alan, I have Knucklehead, I have Arnold. I was called Arnold when I was a kid because I could, you know, oink like a pig, you know, Arnold Ziffel on the Green Acres. And then when I got to junior high and high school, I was Pee Wee because I was short, you know, everybody else was taller than me. And then in basketball, they started calling me Hoff, something like Hoff, Hoffy, Hoff, I forget. Okay, so you got all these different names, okay? In Matthew 10, the 12 apostles, verse 2, the first Simon who is called Peter, Simon Peter, and he's got another name, you know, Bible Jeopardy. Do, 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 do. Cephas, but you're supposed to say, what is Cephas? For you missed Final Jeopardy. What is Cephas is the right answer or question. Yeah, question. Okay, so Cephas. Yeah, so he's got three, Simon Peter and then Cephas. Okay, and then Andrew, his brother. Okay, in John 1, Andrew's the first one that came across the Lord Jesus. Okay, so you got those, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. Okay, and then Philip. Philip is has a wonderful testimony in the book of Acts. Remember, he had four girls that were kind of evangelists in a way, not preaching evangelists, but out in the streets witnessing. Bartholomew, Thomas. Of course, everybody, when you see Thomas, what comes to your mind? We always want to think that. Poor Thomas, he's got to live with that. When he gets to heaven, everybody's going to quit calling him that. And then Matthew, the publican, we would probably say republican. He was like in the customs part of the Roman government. In like he made visas and stuff like that. That's where he worked. James, the son of Alphaeus. So he's right next to Matthew. And Libius, whose surname is Thaddeus. That is Jude. That's Jude. He had three of them. Jude. Not Judas Iscariot, but Jude. And many of the scholars say that the epistle of James was written by James, a half-brother of Jesus, and Jude, the half-brother of Jesus. I'm not buying that. I'm not buying what they're selling. I say it's James, Peter, and John, the big three. Okay, and so James would have been written before Acts 12, and when you read James, he did not have the revelation of Acts 15. Okay, so I don't care what the scholars say, that's what I'm going with. Okay, and they'll figure it out that I'm right eventually in the end. And so, and then Jude, I think that is Jude the apostle. I just believe that's apostle because it falls in line. To me, it's very logical. It goes right in line. Okay, and so then Simon the Canaanite, that guy is also called Simon the Zealotus or Zealot. He would have been a patriot type Israelite. Okay, and then Judas Iscariot, of course, we know about that guy. Okay, that devil, actually. Okay, Mark 3:16. So we have Matthew, and his other name is Levi. They would probably pronounce it Levi. And then we have Matthew, and then James. James was called the son of Alphaeus over there in Matthew. But Mark chapter 3, verse 16, Simon, he's surnamed Peter. Verse 17, James, the son of Zebedee. John, the brother of James. Those are easy. He surnamed them, I'd pronounce that. Sons of Thunder. There you go. And Andrew and Philip. Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, again repeated. Thaddeus, okay, drops the L name. Simon the Canaanite, Judas Iscariot. Okay, so we still got that. Let's try the Luke one, Luke 6:14. Okay, this one is another list, Luke 6:14. 13, he chose 12. He named them apostles. 14, Simon. He always gets first place. Simon Peter. Simon means shifting sand. Peter means stone or rock. Andrew, his brother, James and John. Okay, no brainers. Philip, Bartholomew. Okay, got that. Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zealotus. There's the Simon the Canaanite. Judas, the brother of James. See that? The brother of James. So we, at least you got those two together. Okay, this is Judas. This is Judas, the one I believe wrote Jude, the epistle of Jude right before Revelation. And then Judas Iscariot. And I skipped Mark 2:14. Hey, I've got to go back there. Then I think Acts 1:13. Okay, Mark 2:14. This is where Matthew was called, and then he gave up his profession of the Roman authorities. Mark 2:14, as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus. See that? If that is the same Alphaeus as James, then we got three brothers out of the same family. Okay, and so that would be, wow, quite an honor. You have Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, three from the same family. So again, you could take whatever you want to believe on that. We can get in a fight and argue about it and tell everybody that you're heathen if you don't agree with me. Because, you know, that is the unpardonable sin and all that stuff. So, but we definitely have three pairs of brothers for certain, and maybe a third together. Okay, Acts 1:13, last one. Not for tonight. Lexi's still in the back playing, so she's going to want Papa to keep going. So Matthew or Acts 1:13. And we have it here again. Peter gets first place. Peter, James, John. And I do believe those are the three that wrote. In my mind, it's just, I am totally persuaded of this, that this is so like God's nature, where you get done with the church as far as doctrine, Philemon, and then Paul gives a transition to the Hebrews. And then you have three Jewish apostles, and they retained their apostleship to the circumcision. That would be found in Galatians, numero dos, in verse 9. That's when it says James, Cephas, and John. So he put them in order of the writings in the Bible, James, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and then Jude. Okay, and so in Acts 1:13, it says Peter and James and John and Andrew. Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, okay, James, the son of Alphaeus. And again, they're right next to each other. And then Simon, Zelotes, okay, a zealot. That would be a patriot type. You had patriot types in Israel. That would be kind of like Obadiah and Elijah. Elijah would have been a patriot type. And Obadiah worked under King Ahab. So I'm sure Simon, a zealot, and Matthew had a lot of conversations where Matthew was kind of like, we need to work with the system, fix the system. And Simon would say, we need to overthrow the system. And back and forth they would go. And the Lord had both of them on the same group there. Okay, and then Judas, the brother of James. And of course we know Judas is out of the picture there. Judas Iscariot. Okay, even at that, back in Mark 1, 3, or 30. A lot of times when you deal with somebody of a different viewpoint or different belief, I try to use their authority. Not that I have to read a bunch of false material to get it. Sometimes it comes with experience. And so, like that with a Catholic, I don't try to fish for the small fish. I try to go for the big fish. And I try to get them into conscience, to get them to think. And when you're dealing with somebody that has a religious faith, unfortunately, you have to get them to begin to doubt it. And you do that by asking questions. The questions are designed to reveal the contradictions. So it's easier to come across somebody who has no religious background, because now you can just show them some things of the scripture, helping to persuade them. It's like either building a house straight up or remodeling a house. Now, anybody that's done either one knows that remodeling, you got to tear down before you build up. But the way we can do it, we could do it the way Abimelech did it, very gentle way, okay? And of course, the Lord advised it, or Paul advised it in 2 Timothy. And the way you do that is you ask questions. Okay, so you have Simon Peter. And the Catholics say that he was the first vicar of Christ, okay, making him the first pope. I wouldn't argue with that. I got bigger fish to fry. Let's say he is the first pope. Let's just ignore that whole idea. They say, well, looky there, Simon had a mother-in-law. Do popes get married? Oh, no. Oh, no. But the first pope got married. And none of the other ones did. I don't understand that. Can you explain that? And usually it'd be something, well, it's probably wrong translation. Simon's wife, mother. Or you could play Simon Says. It's a game that people play, you know, Simon Says this, and go to 1 Peter and 2 Peter and find out what Simon says. What does Simon say? He said Jesus is the rock, not him. What did Simon say? In 2 Peter, he says the scriptures are not of any private interpretation. That means no church or organization can interpret the scriptures. It's the Holy Ghost. Well, that's what Simon said. Well, Simon says in 2 Peter 3, verse 16, you need to read Paul's writings. So use their authority to get them to think about these things. And that's all you do. Just throw that out. Let them think about it. Give them some time. And pray that their conscience becomes alert. And not only that, here in verse 30, Jesus, a faith healer, could heal common, ordinary ailments. The guys on TV don't do that. And if they're going to raise somebody from dead, the guys on TV, they have to go to Africa and get it filmed way over there so nobody over here can see them doing it, because they can fake it and all that stuff. So Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. Oh, Anan, that's archaic. We need to get a new translation. That's just ridiculous. Boy, that's a major doctrine, isn't it? Anan just means soon. Nothing hard about that. Dictionary will help us out. So she had a fever. 103 temp, I don't know. I don't know how they do it in Celsius. But and the Lord healed her. The guys on TV don't do that. I like what one fella said. He was a former Catholic. He got saved, and he was at some meeting with a, you know, ecumenical thingy, and some priest said he could heal people, and this guy was bald. And he said to the priest, he said, "I want hair." And the guy said, "I'll pray for you." He said, "Now. I want it now. You, hair." Now, if the priest had a sense of humor, he could have grabbed a wig and just stuck it on, you know, and faked it. But so there you have Simon's wife, mother, lay sick of a fever, and Anan, they tell him of her. And so what does he do? He just goes in house and rebukes the fever. Boom, her body's healed. That's what the Lord can do. Okay, and you could do the same thing with Mary. People really admire Mary. Okay, and all you have to do is take her seven words over in John 2 when she said, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." And I did this to a Catholic lady one time. I said, "Oh, I see that you really admire Mary." "Oh, yes." You know, I said, "Well, obviously she was blessed. But if Mary was standing right here, would you do what Mary would encourage you to do?" "Oh, yes." I said, "Yeah, so would I." Yeah, right over here, Mary said, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." So if Mary's standing right here, she would tell you to do what Jesus says to do. Would you do that? "Oh, yes." I said, "Well, looking over here, Jesus says, search the scriptures. Do you do that?" She said, "No." I said, "You're going to start?" "No." I said, "Now, Jesus said over here, call no man father on earth," and he's referring to religious leaders. Now, okay, now you already told me that you would do what Mary said, and Mary said do what Jesus says, and you told me you're going to do what Jesus said. Now you're going to stop? "No." I said, "See, you wouldn't care if Mary was standing right here. You're going to do what you want to do." And that's true. I just pointed it out to her. And I didn't yell and scream at her and walk out the door and get mad. I just pointed it out and let the Spirit work on her conscience. And that's all that we're required to do. And then she's got to deal with that. Okay, so in verse 31, "And he came and took her by the hand, lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto him." Isn't that something? I mean, there we go. She ministered unto them. She got healed that quickly. 32, "And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils." Sometimes a physical disease can be caused by a devil. Sometimes it's just a physical disease. Sometimes it's a mental, chemical imbalance. So it doesn't matter with the Lord. He just takes care of it. And no questions asked. And he didn't ask for money. He didn't ask for a seed faith vow. He didn't set up a circus tent and have everybody come to him. That's how you know these guys are fakers. I got more respect for the mafia than I do for these people. Taking advantage of the ailments of people, getting money out of them. And that poor individual is sitting there wishing and wishing and wishing, has a false hope, goes home discouraged. Why? Because somebody lied to him and got money out of him. So here the Lord took care of it. And of course, something like this is going to spread like wildfire. I mean, this is just going to go all over the place. And then it says, "And all the city was gathered together at the door." Everybody in Capernaum came. It was a good show to them. made their life more convenient. But did they care what the Lord said? I bet you some of those people was down in Jerusalem crying, crucify him, crucify him. Those people are the ones that rejected him. Those are the people that he cursed the city because they did not receive him. They want it, and this is what the world wants. They want the good things from God, but they don't want God. You see, an employer wants employees that works hard as the Bible would advise them, but they don't want the God of that hard worker. And so it's a testimony. We're a testimony to others. So the whole city came in 34, and he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases, cast out many devils, suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. Told them, shut up. I don't want your testimony. People come in, you know, staring at stuff, you know, drooling down, and the Lord heals him. He becomes in his right mind. Walks out the door with a sound mind. People were saying, I've never seen that before. Wow. And but they got hard to it. They saw so many miracles, they got hard to it. Just like the Jews did. They saw the plagues. They saw the Red Sea crossing. They saw water coming from a rock. They saw a quail coming in. They saw the cloud and a pillar of fire every single day. And what did they do? They got hard. Turned their back on God. You know, a lot of times people say, you know, if God would show me, the Jews already proved that that theory is not true. He gave 3 million people direct communication every single day. And they didn't do what he wanted. That's the human spirit. That's that free will that God put in all of us. The sovereignty, my sovereignty can overrule God's sovereignty. Oh, that a Calvinist, that just drives him crazy when you say something like that. You know, and some guy on YouTube, he kind of, you know, who is determination. I can say, okay, he's going Calvinist. This guy I kind of watch, monitor on occasion. So I put a comment before he even started. I'm not a Calvinist because I was predestinated not to be a Calvinist. And I'm not an Arminian because I reject that of my free will. And somebody wrote, that's a clever idea. And then he goes forward and the guy's going to say what he wants to say. A Calvinist has to believe, if they're consistent, that a little baby that dies 1 week old, if that baby is not one of the elect, that little baby is in hell at that moment. That's a Calvinist. And that ain't logical. It's not biblical. That's what a Calvinist has to believe. And that's John Calvin, where he could never reconcile that. And a Calvinist still can't reconcile that. And they'll say, it's the sovereignty of God. Yeah, but you have a sovereignty also. And we're supposed to freely choose him. And if we don't, we're held accountable. If you don't have a choice in that matter, then who's at fault? God's at fault. Who's responsible for all the sins of the world if Calvinism is right? God's at fault. And that's why Calvinism is wrong. You see, it's a very illogical system. Okay, but boy, do people jump all over that. Okay, so Mark 1:35. Just a quickie, just one. This is a one-liner here. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. There's times we got to get alone. Got to get by ourselves. It's nice to be outside to do it unless the mosquitoes carry you away. And if Noah would have smacked them two mosquitoes that he had on that boat, we could have solved a lot of problems. But we must get alone at time to talk to the Lord. some quiet time with God. Every single day, the Lord said, solitary place. Must do that. Can do it every day if you can. It would be a good thing. But he set it up where at least he wants us as a corporate people one day out of the week. So, okay, Mark 1:35. We'll go and stop there. Any questions or comments? Are we covered? Brother Paul?
In regards to devils, if I look at the Bible from cover to cover, it appears that was more prevalent during this time period, during the gospel, than it was Old Testament or even into the church age.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, I know that Jesus exposes them because he has authority and power over them, and he gave it to the 70 or to his 12.
Yeah.
And that's a spiritual aspect that he gave, but I'm wondering if it's because the devil himself knew that this is what was happening, and Christ came to reclaim this earth and defeat him and make the kingdom happen again, that he called all these devils to be in this place at this time to persecute the Lord in any manner that they could.
I do believe so, where he called all the reinforcements in, which made it easier for the Lord to make a fool out of him in front of all of them, because he called them all in, and he made an open show of them. Yeah, I do believe that's true. Hey, Hank?
What's in that passage you read in Mark 8 with the blind man?
Uh-huh.
What's going on there with him seeing that as true?
Oh, why he didn't get full sight at first? I have no idea. Unless the Lord wanted he to use an analogy that men are like trees. And so we study our roots. And so some men are like an oak tree. Some men are like a palm tree. A palm tree can withstand the winds of a hurricane and come back up. But an oak tree will be destroyed by the hurricane. So we got different trees of people. I think the Lord was just setting that up. So, yeah. Okay, prayer.